This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Green Tea CR Phytosome Formula from Purity Products. It's the power of three of nature's top superfoods, a clinically tested green tea plus curcumin and resveratrol, all in one simple capsule. It's clinically proven to support your energy, vitality, and cardiovascular function. The secret behind Green Tea CR is its phytosome matrix, which boosts its green tea power by over 200% compared to regular green tea. Our friends at Purity Products have a free bottle for you to put to the test. Just pay $4.95 for shipping. Experience the power of this trio and see how good you can feel. Call 1-800-218-6030. That's 1-800-218-6030. Call now. As these move fast, dial 1-800-218-6030. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a subject that I think is of general interest because virtually all of us suffer from pain or dysfunction, whether it be knee pain, back pain, neck pain. Pain is the lot of humankind. And today we're going to talk to an expert on the subject of pain and something called functional movement. Because all too often we talk about exercise, but actually the name of the game is to do movement to stay healthy, whether it be pounding the pavement, whether it be doing heroic things like triathlons or mountain climbing or cross-country bike races. Movement is essential to health. And we're going to talk to someone whose entire career is based on that proposition. He's Dr. Arkady Lipnitsky, and he is a chiropractic and functional movement expert. He is part of the regeneration program at a new center in New York called Rebalance. Website is rebalancenyc.com. It's based on a team approach to problems related to aging and dysfunction. But his department really has to do with movement and physical medicine. Dr. Lipnitsky, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, because you have a very extensive medical career. Of course, you're trained as a chiropractor, but does that mean you just simply do adjustments and, you know, crack people's necks and, you know, do spinal adjustments and that kind of thing?
Well, I still do occasional adjustments, but it's definitely not the only thing. Definitely a very small thing that I do. Yes, my background education is in chiropractic. Further down the line, I spent years and got my secondary degree as diplomate in rehabilitation. And for the past 20 years, I've been working pretty much dealing with pain. I'm part of a large pain medicine and rehabilitation center. And that I actually had established years ago. And I always say that the past 20 years I've been spending helping people getting out of pain fast, but at the same time pretty much putting a band-aid on the pain issue. As a hobby for years, I also been studying movement because it was just very fascinating to me how the most essential and the most basic thing that we are born to do, we are often not doing correctly, and there are many reasons for that.
So with the disease, the diseases of modern man can be attributed to some extent to dysfunctional movement, just the way we sit too long, the way we peer into our devices, the way that we use inappropriate shoes, perhaps.
Right. And again, in my experience and 20 years experience, and I can tell you that I've seen over 30,000 patients in the past 20 years. I noticed that most of the musculoskeletal conditions that we are treating these days are primarily due to just abnormal movement. Unless it's a blunt trauma. I mean, of course, we have a trauma,
right,
or a fracture,
like automobile accident or something,
right,
football
that,
injury.
No argument. But yep. Majority of the problems come insidiously. They just come all of a sudden, and we start developing pain, and we start compensating to that pain, and we're developing further problems by compensation. And of course, the movement is at the base of this the pathological process. And, you know, you probably noticed that too, the past two generations have significantly more arthritic changes, I noticed significantly more degenerative changes in general, not just joint arthritis, right, but muscle degeneration and soft tissue degeneration. And it's attributed primarily to us sitting as much as we're sitting these days. And by sitting, we're not really thinking about it, but we're altering the way the body functions.
Right. So, you know, if we sometimes I look at things from the standpoint of paleo, like, you know, paleo nutrition, we go back to what did our ancestors used to eat, you know, clearly very different from the modern diet. Also, paleo exercise, what type of exercise do they do? You know, maybe they didn't do, marathons and triathlons. Maybe there was functional movement that was associated with hunting game or, you know, gathering roots and herbs and things like that. But when it comes to movement, it seems to me, you know, when you go into like a Neanderthal cave or something, there are no chairs. There are no stone thrones, where they would sit for hours.
Cars.
There are, exactly, right, there are no right. cars. No, well, Fred Flintstone had a car. That's the exception. Fred Flintstone, right. But he powered it with his feet, so at least he got some exercise. But so sitting, you know, let's take a look at sitting as a bit of a pathological activity. What does sitting do to the body and the spine from the standpoint?
So just envision the whole process of sitting.
Yeah.
We have certain muscles that are meant to propel our movement, like the buttocks muscles, for example, are completely shut down by just elongated position and rested position. They have no means of working. They have no need to work.
So you're saying when you examine patients, and you can actually do a functional exam, you notice they have very weak butt muscles?
Well, you can tell by the way they stand, just by, mm-hmm. you know, observing the posture on its own, mm-hmm. that you can pretty much tell whether they spend hours in sitting position
okay.
or not. The compensation, if you look at certain signs, the compensation is there immediately. You can tell which muscles are short, which muscles are long, which muscle active, which muscles are inactive. You ask them to walk, and that just jumps right at you. So, again, you just need to know what to look for. But that whole process of inactive core muscles that are meant to stabilize our spine and hold that, you know, string of little bones stacked upon each other together and in check, the muscles that are meant to propel us are inactive. Mm-hmm. The muscles that are meant to stabilize us are inactive. Muscles that are meant to be elongated, like hamstrings, they completely folded together, you know, in half, and hip muscles as well.
Walking, to some degree, does not fully compensate for that. If you say like me, I mean, here's an example. I work out sometimes in the morning. I'll work out, I'll run, I'll swim, I'll bike, I'll go on the Stairmaster. But then I come to the office and I may sit for like 8 hours, you know, talking to patients. You know, I get up and go to the, you know, make myself a cup of decaf or, you know, go out to the front to pick up some charts. But I'm sitting a lot of the time. So is it doing irrevocable damage to me by you know, even though I'm exercising?
So imagine if you take a spring. Mm-hmm. And you preload it for X amount of hours, and then you open up that spring. What is going to happen to the spring? I mean, most of the time, it's just going to start coming back together mm-hmm. to preloaded position that it's memorized. Our muscles, our body is all about memory.
Okay.
Our brain, trained or retrained by our body position, by our body function, and it's already predisposes that inadequate movement by retraining. You know, every minute we sit, you know, sit down, your brain gets that memory. Okay, mm-hmm. that's fine. You know, I'm comfortable this way. I don't like
that's,
it. But
that's where your equilibrium is. In other words, it becomes a false equilibrium.
Correct. It becomes a false equilibrium, and so is the false perspective of where we're carrying ourselves, whether it's on the right leg or the left leg, forward or back, you know, we lose the proprioception, right? The ability of our brain to feel us in space. It becomes altered. And that alteration stays as a norm, a new norm.
And what are the conditions that can arise from that? Because I will tell you that I have, I think, somewhat successfully, but not completely eradicated this, is I've had back problems from the time I was in my late 20s, well into middle age. And I really attribute that to the type of lifestyle I've had. Even though very active, I've done a lot of sitting. And is low back pain related to that in some way? And how is it?
Well, anytime we're not moving, anytime the spine is stuck in one position, the lubrication that is essential, as you know, to any joint health, so is it for discs. You know, it's essential, the movement for ligaments of the spine. If there's no movement, there's no nutrients coming in. There's no lubrication coming in. So you cannot expect, if something is not greased properly for, you know, for extended period of time, if somebody didn't get oxygen for extended period of time, you really cannot expect it to function normally or be healthy. So absolutely, it will have changes. Now, how do we change those? How do we stop those changes? That's a different story. And like you said, you found a solution for yourself in a certain forms of exercise.
I've worked on my core. I've worked on you know, my weak, as I've identified this, that I have weak butt muscles, and I do specific exercises to help my glutes.
Right. So being, again, being an expert at this and the movement primarily, there's one thing that I think is important to understand with exercise. Unless you have a goal, you're pretty much wasting your time. The exercise has to be, has to have a goal, and preferably corrective goal. But, you know, if you think why we're exercising, we just want to be healthy. We, most of us do not want to run a marathon tomorrow. Most of us do not want to lift 400, 500, 700 pounds. Most of us want to be able to bend and lift a basic item at home, to play with the children, to fool around, and not to feel that the threat of hurting ourselves. So we need to get our body prepared for basic. And to prepare for basic, we need to understand what is essential for basic. And essential for basic is a stability for the spine, mobility for extremities, for our hands, for our limbs, and ability to walk straight, bend properly, you know, at our hips, not our lower back. So there's a really basic things that we need to retrain in ourselves, and having that as a goal really changed the dynamic of exercise.
So now, for someone who's like, let's say, a typical patient, 50 years old, you know, low back pain, maybe associated problems include knee pain as well, as a hip pain.
Ankle pain can be there as well.
And could these be the result of misalignment? And is it too late? I mean, are these habits so ingrained and inculcated that they no longer can be reversed through your interventions?
Well, it's a good question, and that's when the comprehensive and integrative care comes into play. And I think that's what the discussion is all about, because...
And that's actually kind of ties into the rebalance, which is, you know, sort of a play on words. Like,
well, like I said before, I've been putting Band-Aids very successfully, but doing exactly that for years, and at this point, I feel that there's so much that we've been missing in probably partially following the basic medical guidelines of how we should be treating patients. But realistically, prevention was always a big missing component there. And at this point, putting together a logical program that will reverse to extend a lot of our chronic issues can be stopped, can be prevented, and a lot of them can be reversed.
And what are some of the components that need to be there to bring a person back from dysfunction?
Well, nutrition, as you've been, you know, talking about it for years, is a huge component to that.
Reducing inflammation with an anti-inflammatory diet, taking certain supplements.
Controlling the weight, or, you know, controlling our weights, is a very big component. restoring a proper mobility in our joints. You can't stabilize anything that's not mobile. You know, if your spine is not moving properly, if your joints are not moving properly, you really cannot create a stability around it.
You can make that happen through manual techniques, or how do you
there's
do
that? A lot of manual techniques. There's a lot of regenerative techniques. Again, it's one of the big problems that I see for years, and I think in our program here in the Rebalance of Regenerative program, we'll be seeing even more. For example, frozen shoulder. Shoulder issues are extremely prevalent, probably, well, maybe a little less than lower back, but it's up there. And a lot of these problems are not related directly to the shoulder joints at all. No. A lot of these problems directly related to compensatory muscles that have been working inadequately for years. And believe it or not, some of them just work inadequately due to back problems.
So when we do, I mean, typical approach to frozen shoulder is, you know, mobilize it, do some physical therapy, move it around, maybe take a steroid shot, then eventually maybe do some surgery. What's wrong with that approach? That's a conventional approach,
Everything. Right.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's interesting when we're starting treating a shoulder, how often we're treating just the shoulder instead of looking at the true reason behind that, that development of inadequate movement and disbalance, and what brings about the overload to some muscles and fibrosis of the capsule, meaning the scarring of the capsule, because capsule all of a sudden is just not moving properly. And often we're missing a big picture of the true reason why it's not moving properly.
Okay.
So removing, identifying the compensatory areas, removing the scar tissue and restoring the mobility of the joint is one of the primary targets. At the same time, often it's just not enough.
How can you remove the scar tissue? I mean, without...
Oh, we have tools. We have, for example, I've been one of the probably first practitioners to start using Shockwave.
Shockwave
was developed actually in Germany.
For kidney stones.
Correct.
Extracorporeal shockwave therapy, ECSW.
Right. Extracorporeal shockwave. It was developed for primarily for kidney stones.
It makes it like a loud gunshot sound, doesn't it?
It's interesting. It's actually a gun that there's a bullet flying inside the tube, and it hits the tip, and the tip, it's all about the tip. The way it's positioned and the way it formed, it creates almost like a mini explosion in soft tissue, and it completely disintegrates scar tissue. So we started using first of all plantar fasciitis. It was absolutely a miracle thing. For plantar fasciitis, especially if you know what
you may with. You may have a customer with me, because I'm a little bit I was thinking about doing that. I had a case of plantar fasciitis a couple of years ago. I didn't know you then, but I was thinking of exploring that. Fortunately, it got better, but that's a condition that tends to recur, and I'm working a little on some shoulder fasciitis, so maybe that's something that we should talk about.
For any, when we say fasciitis, it's not just inflammation of the soft tissue. Often it's a formation of the scar tissue, fibrous adhesions, we call it medically. It's interesting, our body has an amazing ability to heal itself really fast, but it heals itself really fast with the wrong tissue. And that's actually one of the biggest problems, because within 72 hours, we start forming scar tissue.
Okay.
And that's the first tissue we start forming.
Right. And but that's maladaptive, because it will tighten up the joint and cause immobility, right?
Well, for the new cell to be created, it takes about 21 days, 23 days. Scar tissue, 72 hours. Yes, it's almost like you're taking a rubber band that got a little rip, and you're going to sew it together with a cotton thread.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks, you know, all intact together. No. You start pulling it, and again, where's it going to rip? Exactly where it's not flexible, where it's not elastic.
Right.
It's going to rip at the scar tissue, at the cotton.
Because it doesn't give properly.
And then you take more thread, and you sew it together more, and that's exactly what's happening.
So the scars tend to be self-perpetuating. And they build up.
Well, and that's exactly the area where it re-injures itself as well. Mm-hmm. So that's how chronicity starts.
Yeah.
Shockwave, they not only able to disintegrate the scar tissue, mm-hmm. breaks it apart. It actually stimulates on the cellular level formation of the new cells.
Stem cells get...
So the new cell forms so much faster than under regular circumstances, mm-hmm. almost like a PRP or a platelets that we use for injecting the soft tissue.
Yeah, that's another one that's popular among many sports medicine people, is injecting, it's sort of injecting your own blood back into you for healing purposes. That's sort of
correct.
What...
Correct. We also use it in the regenerative program. Again, it's all about when we evaluate you and we try to identify where you're fitting into the program, it's really all about how bad are you?
Mm-hmm.
How much work, how much help do you need, does your body need?
Right, and it could be
really
something
need,
simple.
Right,
it could be
something very quick. And I'm not a fan of just prolonged treatments. Mm-hmm. I think there's usually more functional problems than the physical problems. Mm-hmm. And you don't treat functional problems, you train functional problems.
Do you give patients homework, like, here's an exercise you should continue, this is what you should do? Or do you tell them the opposite, get off that elliptical, you're just making it worse, something along those lines?
Well, just like in your line of work, the success stories are only the ones that you have patients committed to mm-hmm. to follow the program.
Okay.
If they don't take their supplements that you recommend, that you don't really expect progress.
So it's not a passive thing. It's not like,
it's extremely active.
Yeah.
Even the soft tissue techniques that I've been using for years, is all about you moving with me. It's never about just very passive massage therapy or just trigger point. It's extremely active. And you're active participant because that's the only way to get the tissue, broken and elongated and to retrain your brain to recognize what the length of that muscle should be.
So it's creating a new, more adaptive muscle memory, breaking the old pattern and substituting a more therapeutic pattern in place of the
correct.
Old.
Just like with an exercise, it's important to give a new experience to the body. New experience that you can function in a longer range, perhaps mm-hmm. taking bigger load, perhaps running a little further, the endurance, working on endurance. That experience is essential because that's what makes you comfortable going further. Because
mm-hmm.
our pain and locking into chronicity is often just locked into our heads, and it's very difficult to give that experience to somebody who is just too afraid of experiencing something new.
Mm-hmm.
So, same thing. No,
it's sort of being in a bad relationship or a bad marriage. You better stay in the relationship. It's familiar ground. Don't try anything new, different, or adventuresome. That's sort of human nature, right? And where we try that happens.
Right, but feeling comfortable doesn't mean being healthy.
No, your pain is your friend almost. It becomes such a habit that, it's a vicious cycle. You're just used to it.
And like you mentioned, corticosteroids, in some cases when the inflammation is so proliterated that it doesn't allow
break
you
the cycle.
To be.
Yep.
You need to break the cycle. You need to give. But when I hear people having one after the other injections into the area that is already falling apart and, breaks the, bond, the protein bond between muscles and it creates the almost disintegrating the muscle.
Yeah, it weakens the tissue. After you've had two or three or four, you can have dangerous tears.
So nothing wrong with having it done to control the inflammation, but unless it's treated and something is done to repair mm-hmm. The tissue, whatever, the cartilage or the bone or the soft tissue, then it's useless.
Good stuff. Okay, we're going to pause because we have a lot more to talk about on the issue of movement and therapies for pain syndromes. Virtually all of us experience them at some time or another. And we're talking to an expert in utilizing multiple modalities to come to grips with common dysfunctions, common pain disorders that afflict patients. He's Dr. Arkady Lipnitsky, our guest today, and he's part of a center in New York called Rebalance NYC. That's right.
Correct.
And the website is rebalancenyc.com. You can find out all about it there. And we'll be back with more in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.